Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, I think the Chiefs got a major decision wrong this offseason. We'll talk about that. Therese Paylor from Yahoo Sports will be on the show coming up in 30 minutes, and we'll give you another chance to win $1,000. If you missed the pop quiz, it is presented by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Today's pop quiz was Bull Durham. Why did you pick Bull Durham today, Spec?
Tim Robbins, a.k.a. Nuke LaLoosh, turned 60 years old today. Happy birthday, Tim Robbins.
Happy birthday to Tim Robbins.
Bull Durham, probably my favorite baseball movie.
Is Bull Durham your favorite Tim Robbins movie?
That's a really good question. I think he was better in Shawshank Redemption. And even earlier, I go back to Top Gun. He didn't play a big role in that. But Shawshank, I think he was better than that in that movie. But I just love Bull Durham. That was the most realistic, funny baseball movie.
I think that Shawshank Redemption is the best movie ever made.
Really?
I think it is a really, really, really good movie.
I don't know how he crawled through that sewer for like 5 football fields.
I don't trust anybody that doesn't like Shawshank Redemption. Yeah, like, no. If I asked
it's you, a stop and watch.
If I asked you that and you were like, I don't really like that movie that much. I don't know if that's somebody that I really want in my life. I have been waiting for this literally for like the last 3 hours. Over the summer, we played Would You Rather with Patrick Mahomes. And we can play that in a couple more weeks. I love Would You Rather. It's a very fun game. We are going to do it with Tyreek Hill. The only qualification for Tyreek Hill in our Would You Rather game is you cannot include special teams. Because I think we all would admit that when you include the special teams, it makes Tyreek Hill an infinitely more valuable player than a lot of the other really good receivers. Like Julio Jones doesn't play special teams. That I think Julio Jones is a better receiver than Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
But because of what he does in special teams, I would rather have Tyreek Hill on my team than have Julio Jones. So I'm saying just for the base of this argument, play with me. Imagine a little bit, text line. And let's eliminate special teams and evaluate them solely as wide receivers because I'm willing to give you Tyreek Hill as an all-purpose player. He's probably one of the 10 most valuable players in the NFL. I'm conceding that off the rip.
I thought he was only a return specialist because that's what Jalen Ramsey told me.
That is what Jalen Ramsey said. And then this week he said, I don't know. That's what he said. All right. How do you want to do this, Beck?
I'm gonna throw the names out to you, and you guys are going to say, who would you rather have?
Okay, because I can't wait to hear your logic on it. Like, I don't even really care what I think or Fanning thinks. I just want you to say that you think Tyreek Hill is like the 13th best receiver in the NFL and then read text crushing you for your opinion. That's all I'm really interested in this segment.
It is a rule on the show. All right, let's start with the number one wide receiver so far in the NFL. Adam Thielen or Tyreek Hill?
I think Adam Thielen's better than Tyreek Hill right now. I think Adam Thielen is the most underrated player in the NFL, as odd as that sounds. I don't really get it why he's so underrated. Adam Thielen does absolutely nothing but produce, but yet he doesn't get talked about and treated in the same way. It's very possible that Adam Thielen could have like 1,900 yards this season. He has 100 every single week. First week, 6 for 102. Second week, 12 for 131. 14 for 105. 8 for 135. 7 for 116. 11 for 123. And 4 touchdowns this year. Y'all got to quit disrespecting Adam Thielen. Adam Thielen is one of the 3 best receivers in the NFL, if not the best receiver right now in the NFL. Yes, he's better than Tyreek Hill.
I think he's really good, but I'll take Tyreek Hill over this because this will be my argument for every receiver or every time I take him over a receiver. I don't think Tyreek Hill has reached his potential as a receiver. I mean, this guy was a running back and a scat back in college. And last year he was asked to be the number one wide receiver on a football team in the NFL. He's not even close to what he's going to be. So I'll take Tyreek.
I'm taking Adam Thielen. I'm with C-Dot on this one.
I'm not saying Thielen's not great at all. I mean, he's phenomenal. Don't get me wrong. I like the explosiveness of Tyreek.
All right. The guy you just mentioned, Julio Jones, him or Tyreek Hill?
I feel so bad for Julio Jones with how he's being treated right now in Atlanta. I saw a stat earlier this week that Julio Jones is still the 6th best wide receiver in fantasy, and he doesn't have a touchdown. That just goes to tell you how good he's been so far this season, minus the touchdowns. Julio's been amazing. He just cannot get in the end zone, and they let Ito Smith touchdown vulture every single week. Yes, I'm going with Julio Jones over Tyreek Hill.
I'm taking Tyreek again. Julio Jones is a great, big receiver that can make some great catches. He was phenomenal at the Super Bowl. He's a great talent, but he's not a game breaker. Not going to bust one, right? He's basically a cross between a really, really good receiver and Gronk. I mean, he's a tank is what he is, and he's phenomenal. Don't get me wrong. But give me a guy that can take it to the house on one play and change the game in 6 seconds, and Tyreek can do it. I'll take it.
All right. I'm taking Julio Jones along with Carrington, too. So, Fanning, you're the only one who has taken Tyreek Hill so far over both Adam Thielen and Julio Jones.
Yeah. Julio's really good. What they're phenomenal. Doing right now touchdown-wise is just it's just near criminal. How you have the weapon that Julio Jones is and can't get him in the end zone just makes absolutely no sense.
All right, third name on the list, DeAndre Hopkins. Hopkins or Hill?
See, I like DeAndre Hopkins here, but I'm taking Tyreek Hill over DeAndre Hopkins. I got all the respect in the world for DeAndre Hopkins, and he's done it with a lot of bad quarterbacks. I got to side with Tyreek Hill over DeAndre Hopkins. I got to side with him just a little bit. It's close, though.
Yeah, I'm taking Tyreek on this one, too, man. Again, burner, speed kills. Speed kills. Little scat back guys that can jump 6 feet in the air and pull it down and throw it in sixth gear and blast by two guys in the secondary like he did on Sunday night. I'll take that guy every single time.
I'm absolutely taking DeAndre Hopkins. Did you see the catch that he made on Sunday? I know Tyreek Hill ran away from him.
Did you see Tyreek Hill jump 5 feet in the air, twist his body, come down, and outrun two guys in the secondary?
That was it. That's describing the catch that DeAndre Hopkins made, minus the running part.
Minus the running part.
DeAndre Hopkins catch is amazing.
Tyreek
Hill can't make the DeAndre Hopkins catch, so I'm always going to take the bigger guy, and DeAndre Hopkins is probably the best catcher of the football in the NFL. I'm taking DeAndre Hopkins. He made Tom Savage look like he actually belonged throwing a football. Let's just put it
that way. I actually don't think Fanning's taking any of these receivers over Tyreek Hill. Actually,
you're
now, looking, now
so
looking
far.
At the
I'm
list.
The only one who's taken all three of these guys.
I don't think he's taking any of them.
All right, number four, Davante Adams.
This isn't even worth our time. No. What? How's Davante Adams on this list?
Because he has more receiving yards right now than Tyreek Hill. Just say no and we'll move on. Don't
I
give me
said
that
no.
Look.
I'm looking at you because you know all that's right. Ridiculous.
No, are you saying
you
no?
You know
Fanning?
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Tell him it's ridiculous.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean,
call him a clown.
Today he's a pumpkin. He's pumpkin.
I'm taking Tyreek Hill over Davante Adams. I'm just saying he has more yards right now.
Speck, why do you hate the Chiefs?
I'm taking Tyreek Hill over Davante Adams. All right, cross that one off. Here we go.
Clown. That's what you are, a clown.
Michael Thomas.
I know Speck's taking. Speck loves him. Speck wasn't engaged, he would date Michael Thomas if he could.
I like Michael Thomas, and this is where, baby, I fault you just a little bit. It's hard for me to really know how good Michael Thomas is because I think he gets the Drew Brees stimulus package. Like, I think Michael Thomas is a good wide receiver. His numbers would suggest that he's great, but I just don't know if he's great. Because I've seen Brees do this with multiple people. I've seen him do it with Brandon Cooks. I've seen him do it with Marquise Colston. I've seen him do it with Michael Thomas. So I'm taking Tyreek Hill just over the fact I know he can do it with other quarterbacks that I don't know about Michael Thomas.
Yeah, I'm taking Tyreek on this one, too. I mean, Tyreek did it with Alex Smith. And now he's doing it with Patrick Mahomes, a rookie. I know you love you some Michael Thomas.
He's been the most productive NFL wide receiver in the last 2 years. But now Carrington wants to throw the stats out the window when it's not convenient for his
arsenal. Here's the other thing.
I just want to make sure we're all up here.
And I am going to take Tyreek over all these guys, just so you know.
Yeah,
one of the biggest reasons is, look at all the options that they have in this offense right now. I mean, Tyreek's not going to probably get the amount of targets the rest of these dudes are getting. I mean, Adam Thielen has 81 targets. Tyreek Hill has 51. He better have 100 yards every damn game.
All right, next name on the list. So far, CDOT has Adam Thielen and Julio Jones over Tyreek Hill. Fanning thinks Tyreek Hill is better than Jerry Rice. And I have Adam Thielen, Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, and Michael Thomas better than Tyreek Hill.
You knew that was a good one.
That was good. I didn't have a good comeback, so I had to act angry.
You knew that was a good one.
All right, number six on the list, Odell Beckham Jr.
Who would you rather have, prime Randy Moss or Tyreek Hill?
I don't know. Let me think about that.
Oh, my God.
I'm serious.
Of course, Randy Moss.
Okay, I'm asking. I legitimately wasn't sure. Man. I wasn't sure who you were taking. I wasn't sure.
Don't throw Juju Smith-Schuster at me either.
I think Odell's still better than Tyreek Hill. I feel bad for Odell Beckham, bro. I feel bad for Odell. Odell is not even playing with Eli Manning. He's playing with the ghost of Eli Manning in this one. I still got to take Odell Beckham. I think he's a better receiver than Tyreek Hill.
I'm taking Tyreek Hill. part of it is, and I have to, full disclosure here, I think Odell Beckham is a pain in the ass diva that punches air conditioners and does really stupid stuff, and that annoys me.
I think he's just tired of playing with Eli.
I think he's just a diva receiver. And that's irritating.
Amazing diva receiver. You keep talking about these guys who run away from the defenses. Odell Beckham's probably the second best in the league at that.
Yeah, I'm not picking Tyreek because of I think he's a better talent than Odell. I'm picking Tyreek because I don't like Odell Beckham. I think he's a pain in the ass.
I'm going to start calling him Eli Tannehill. That's who he is. Yeah. Maybe worse than Ryan Tannehill, to be completely honest.
All right.
Honestly, who would you rather have, Blake Bortles or Eli Manning? That answers my question. If you got to think about it, that tells you how bad Eli is.
I think
you got to ask
Eli,
it.
But I get what you're saying. All right, we got four names on this list. Let's try and run through them. AJ Green.
No, I like AJ Green though. Like, I no shade towards AJ Green. I'd rather have Tyreek Hill than him.
I thought Jalen Ramsey said he was weak. I'm taking Tyreek.
I'm taking Tyreek Hill too. I mean AJ Green's amazing, but I think he's 30 and probably past his best. All right, the guy that Carrington loves the most, Mike Evans.
You know how you feel about the bigger receiver? Pause. Yeah. I love Mike Evans. It's something about Mike Evans I just like. I'm going to pick Tyreek, but it pains me to do it. Mike Evans is one of the ones that I know, like, the numbers don't make a lot of sense. I just have a preference for because 6'5", can jump out of the gym, never play with a really accurate quarterback. Like, I think Mike Evans is just fantastic, but goodness gracious.
Is Mike Evans Kyle Farnsworth? Looks great in uniform, has a great fastball, but is not a very good pitcher.
No, Mike Evans is really good.
No, Mike Evans has numbers behind him.
Mike Evans is really good.
Tyreek.
Mike Evans every year of his career has had over 1,000 yards receiving. So, I mean, Mike Evans is good.
Yeah, I'm taking Mike Evans.
He's just had Ryan Fitzpatrick and Jameis Winston throwing the ball out of bounds and over his head.
Who has the most touchdowns any of these guys we're talking about? It's Tyreek Hill. I'm just throwing it out there.
I mean,
Beckham would have more if he didn't miss 12 games last
year. Devontae Adams has 6, so, I mean, he ties him.
All right, Antonio Brown.
Oh, that's a tough one here.
Now, I'm still taking AB.
It's not as tough as you think. It's Antonio Brown.
I'm still taking AB over Tyreek Hill. If we're just talking receiving, I'm still taking AB. I feel like AB's problems have just been, for whatever reason, him and Ben Roethlisberger just haven't been on the same page. I'm still taking AB.
I got to take Tyreek Hill. Any guy that's going to throw lawn furniture off his deck and almost kill a 22-month-old, I'm
that has
on.
Nothing to do with his
I'm just telling
ability.
You, it's the same reason with Odell Beckham Jr. Like, I don't want that guy on my team, even though Antonio Brown's an amazing talent.
All right, final one, Keenan Allen.
Yeah, can't stay healthy, Tyreek.
Yeah, I don't really think this is as close maybe as you think that it is. I mean
Keenan Allen's really, really good.
I think Keenan Allen's really good, too. If I said no on Michael Thomas, why am I saying yes on Keenan Allen when I think Michael Thomas is better than Keenan Allen?
C-Dot, you have Tyreek Hill's the fifth best wide receiver in the NFL.
Yeah, I think that's about right for Tyreek
Hill. Behind Thielen, Jones, Beckham, and Brown. Fanning thinks that
that'd be good.
Tyreek Hill's the best wide receiver in the NFL.
Oh, I thought you were going to take a shot at me.
No, I'm just plainly stating it.
Got it.
And I have Thielen, Jones, Hopkins, Thomas, Beckham, Evans, Brown, then Hill.
I just think he's the most dangerous weapon in the NFL. I think he's so dangerous.
Can you explain the three games where he had less than 62 yards?
Sammy Watkins, Travis Kelce, Kareem Hunt, throwing touchdown passes to Anthony Sherman.
I mean, Antonio Brown has Juju, James Conner, Vance McDonald. All these guys play with other great – Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
I mean, all these guys that play with other great players. Julio Jones has Calvin Ridley, 2 good running backs, Austin Hooper. These guys all play with great players.
Yeah.
And we're talking like Sammy Watkins is some superstar. He had 2 catches for 18 yards on Sunday night.
He had 4 targets. Not his fault. It's not like they threw 14 balls at him and he had 2 catches back. I mean, let's put it in perspective.
Sammy Watkins is not an all-star. Not some pro bowler.
Yeah.
I actually think that Hill realistically is in a sliding range from 5 to 7. That seems about right to me. Like, if you said you take DeAndre Hopkins over Tyreek Hill, just the receiver, I don't think that's a crazy take. If you would say Michael Thomas over Tyreek Hill, I don't think that's crazy. I think it's like 5 to 7, though. 7's probably the absolute lowest you can have Tyreek Hill as a receiver. He's really, really developed into one of the better receivers in the NFL.
And again, one of the reasons why I go towards Tyreek is he's not even reached his potential yet. Like, we don't know how good this guy's going to be. These other dudes have been receivers their entire career in college, you know, in the pros. Tyreek's been a number one receiver for, 24 games now? So I don't think we've even seen the best yet.
I kind of feel like we are at the best. It's about maintaining now at this point. Like, yeah. I mean, this year will probably be the best year of Tyreek Hill. I mean, passing numbers are so big. You play with a great quarterback that's going to throw for a lot of yards. Like, I find it hard. I mean, maybe he does. I certainly could be wrong. I don't know if there's a next gear for Tyreek Hill that we just haven't seen yet. I think it's just like maintaining and just being this receiver for a sustained amount of time. Speaking of receivers, coming up on the other side, I think the Chiefs got a major decision wrong. I'll tell you what it is coming up. It's The Drive.
That pass intercepted again. Derek Johnson. Johnson up the sideline. Now to the middle. To the 10. To the 5. Touchdown.
We got some breaking news in the NFL. Two pieces of breaking news in the NFL. First, the NFL has released a statement, or at least an NFL executive has released a statement on Breland Speaks and what happened in the play with Tom Brady. We'll talk about that momentarily. But the Raiders have cut Derek Johnson, inside linebacker, future Chiefs Hall of Famer, will probably be in the Ring of Honor.
No, he will be. I mean, he's the all-time tackles leader.
He has been released from the Oakland Raiders. I think you guys know what question is coming up next. Do you want Derek Johnson back for your Kansas City Chiefs? At a minimum, to me.
Yeah.
At a minimum. He has to come in for a workout.
Yeah.
At a minimum, they at least got to take a look and see if it works. If you're talking about you can bring back Frank Zombo because he knows the system and linebacker situation, or Nate Orchard, who didn't play in last week's game, wasn't even active, in the Sunday night game against New England. I understand you cut Derek Johnson. I understand that he's old and maybe he doesn't help you. You at least got to bring him in for a workout and see what he's still got. You at least got to have him around for a day or two. That's at a bare minimum, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you got to look at him. And I think the biggest reason you got to look at him is because Reggie Ragland is obviously, there's something going on with him. Either he's hurt or he's not good right now. And either way, you need another inside linebacker, right? So I think you have to bring him in. I think you at least have to have that discussion for sure. It's not going to cost you much. So I would do it. I would do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I just don't know what other situation you have right now with inside linebacker.
You going to make it worse?
I mean, that's clearly a position of weakness for your team, and this is a chance for you to add a veteran guy that knows your locker room, that knows, that has all the respect of the guys in there. You at least owe it to your service. Maybe he's not healthy. Maybe there's more of, you know, I'm not going to make it like I've watched a lot of Raiders games, been watching inside linebacker play that I can tell you how Derek Johnson looks so far this season. But you at least, I mean, we got to get a report from Mike Garafolo of Ian Rappaport or Adam Schefter that at least he was brought in to work out. So you can at least, and then if you don't like what you see from him and you don't pick him, hey, that's perfectly fine. You at least got to kick the tires on Derek Johnson.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, man. You got to look at it. You got to be looking at everything defensive right now for sure, because as we were talking about with Binka in the 2 o'clock hour, he joins us every Tuesday at 2:15. You can catch a show tonight, Binka at Night, coming up at 6 o'clock. Man, you have to look at this stuff, and you have to get better on defense. And so why wouldn't you? I mean, you'd be crazy not to. I mean, if you're gonna look at making other deals to improve your defense, then this is one of them. Look at him. Kick the tires. See if it's going to work.
And NFL executive Troy Vincent on Chiefs defensive lineman Breland Speaks letting go of Tom Brady in the red zone. Quote, "You got to play free mind. We watched that video. We watched the play." Emphasized that he hopes it's in players' minds, the safety aspect, but you have to finish the play. That's maybe the conversation I would have with Breland Speaks if I'm Bob Sutton, if I'm Andy Reid. Hey, your intention, I think, in that was right. You know, in this situation, I know you got to put your body on the line for the team and all that, but the money's only coming out of one person's paycheck.
Sure.
It's easy for me to say what you should do when I'm not the one that $17,000 is coming out of my paycheck if I think I'm doing the right things. So I think Breland Speaks, in the moment, I think did what a lot of players have been doing of late. I think you got to tell Bob Sutton, or you have to tell him if you're Bob Sutton or if you're Andy Reid, you have to be coached to finish throughout the play and make sure that Tom Brady was down. You think that he threw the ball. You didn't know that he threw the ball in that scenario. That you owe it to yourself. You owe it to the other guys on this team to at least finish out the play. That would be my message if I'm Bob Sutton and Andy Reid.
Yeah, I mean, you had the kid from the Dolphins that blew his knee out trying to not sack the quarterback too hard. I mean, it's in all of these guys' heads, especially after what you saw Clay Matthews do. Now, it's different with Clay Matthews. He's made his money. You know, I mean, Breland Speaks makes $480,000 this year. And that's a lot of money to a lot of people. But, man, by the time you pay your agent, Uncle Sam gets his, and then you're going to get dinged another $26,000, and who knows if he's trying to help out some family members or has a wife and kids or whatever. You think about that stuff. You know, it's not like he's on a new contract making a ton of money. I don't blame Breland Speaks for this. I blame the league more than anything else, because this is what the league wants. The league wants you to not hit the quarterbacks. How many penalties were called on the Patriots the other night that were taken? None. Zero. Who's the guy that's the quarterback for the Patriots, the greatest of all time? And guys get calls. We see that all the time. I think Aaron Rodgers may have got one last night. So I get where Breland Speaks is coming from on that. But at the same time, man, you still got to make that play. You got to wrap up. You got to bring him down. And I bet you it doesn't happen again for Breland Speaks.
I want to make this point really quickly. I was just thinking about this with Derek Johnson. We agree if Derek Johnson does not sign with the Chiefs in the next couple of days, he's done.
Yeah.
Like, if there's any team would bring in Derek Johnson over the next week, it's the Chiefs. The Patriots aren't picking you up. The Steelers aren't picking you up. Like, there is a team right now with a serious hole at inside linebacker, and it's the Kansas City Chiefs. You know this system. You know this scheme. You know this town. And it's not like they're coming in and they're asking you to play 50 snaps. They're asking you to be a situational kind of guy. If the Chiefs don't think enough of you to bring you in, that would tell me, if I'm the rest of the league, what Derek Johnson has left in the tank. Because it would be obvious in this scenario what team would pick you up. That if the Chiefs don't do it, this is probably it for you if you're Derek Johnson.
Yeah, what's he, 35 now?
Yeah, 35.
Yeah, DJ's 35 and a linebacker. He's not going to be able to cover anybody. You can't put him into coverage. So, I mean, if you bring him in, you're thinking, we got to stop the run, and maybe he can help us doing that.
Specter said that he texts Derek Johnson to see if we can have him on the show. Do you want me to do it? Because normally when you do stuff like that, they don't reply to you, but they reply to me. So I just want to know if you want me to actually reach out to Derek Johnson. I'm asking.
I ain't going to put my business in the street like
I'm
that.
I'm just asking. I don't know if I've ever told this story on the air.
This is funny.
There was one day that Specter called Neil Smith, and Neil Smith didn't answer the phone. And then I looked at Specter and said, he'll answer if I call. And I called Neil. He answered, hey, Carrington, how's it going? Like, immediately
10 seconds afterwards.
Immediately picked up. So I'm saying this. I know Derek. So if you want me to call him, I'll call him, and we can have him on the show. If you want me to do it. Or is this one of your pride things, like you want to book the interview with Derek Johnson?
You can text him, too.
Okay,
I just wanted to let you guys know that I'm efforting DJ right
now. Okay, I'll do it.
For the people.
All right, I'll do it. I'll text him during the break.
I got to text into a guy, too, that knows a guy that might be able to help.
I swear, if my hero texts you after ignoring my text.
Derek Johnson's your hero?
My favorite Chiefs player of all time.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I
think I got a chance if I do it. I don't know with you. Like, I don't know if you got any cred out here in these streets. I think if I do it, I think he'll text me back. I'll try it during the break and we'll see. Coming up also after the break, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 at our national cash contest. And our guy, Therese Paylor, will join the show. We'll ask him if the Chiefs will bring back Derek Johnson next on The Drive. Back in on The Drive, we will give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest right now, and we'll catch up with our guy, Therese Paylor from Yahoo Sports. Text the word ASSEMBLY, ASSEMBLY, ASSEMBLY to 72881. That's ASSEMBLY. If you want Chiefs talk and a chance to win $1,000 on the 30s, there's only one station in Kansas City that gives you both weekdays from 7A to 7P. It pays to listen to the largest sports radio company in the world. Message and data rates may apply. Your next chance to win is coming up in 1 hour, but why not go ahead and win right now? One more time for those of you in the back that are hard of hearing.
What?
ASSEMBLY, 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 your national cash contest code word 330 is ASSEMBLY. You will have another chance to win coming up in 1 hour. The breaking news in Kansas City right now is Derek Johnson is back on the market. He was cut from the Oakland Raiders. He is 35 years old, plays inside linebacker. Would you want Derek Johnson back in Kansas City, at least right now on the text line? It feels very lukewarm about would you like Derek Johnson back on the scene.
Chiefs need a linebacker, man. They can't stop the run right now. I'm not saying DJ's like the every down answer, but I mean, I would consider it. I think you have to look at it and at least find out if he's willing to do that. Maybe he's ready to hang it up. I don't know, but we'll see. You know, I mean, I think you have to at least look into it if you're the Chiefs.
Let's ask our guy, Therese Paylor from Yahoo Sports, senior NFL writer, podcast out there with Charles Robinson. I listen every single week. It's our guy, Therese Paylor. Therese, how you doing today, man?
I'm great. How you doing?
Doing good. Derek Johnson is available. Is this a move that Kansas City should look at bringing back Derek Johnson?
So the thing you got to think about here is that I think it's something that could or probably even should happen if they suffer like an injury to the core. Because like at this point, you know, remember, like you don't just sign backup linebackers to be backup linebackers. Like whoever you have as a backup inside linebacker needs to play special teams too. That's like a really important job description. As a number three or number four inside linebacker, is a guy who can be like a core special teamer. So if you brought in DJ, just in my opinion, it'd be as, okay, Reggie Ragland's knee is killing him. he's on IR. And it's like, oh, okay, DJ. Or like Anthony Hitchens, if Hitchens is hurt and he needs to go on short-term IR, he needs to sit, then it would make sense, right? You make Ben Neiman give up the number, right? But, like, the thing is that, you know, I don't know. Like, the Raiders don't have, like, a good defense. And maybe they're going younger. I don't know. But this was a guy Gruden signed. So I think that DJ's presence in a room could be very helpful. I think from a starting perspective, though, the Chiefs paid Anthony Hitchens, like, a lot of money. Like, you need that. You need production. Like, that, you can't just, like, flush it. He's going to play. He's going to keep playing. You gave up an asset for Ragland, too. Like, you need those guys to produce. And the only way I could see, like, you know, DJ from a productivity, you know, standpoint being an upgrade is if, like, one of those guys gets hurt. And now you need, like, a seamless transition. If that's what happens, I get it. And if it happens before that, that means that they have seriously misjudged their all inside linebacker talent.
Therese, I at least feel like you have to bring him in for a workout at this point. Like, your inside linebacker position is just not solidified enough for you at least not to bring in Derrick Johnson, workout, see how he feels, and then see if it's a good fit for you, because this is probably it for Derrick Johnson. If he doesn't get picked up by Kansas City, I just don't see Carolina picking him up or another team. This is it. To me, you at least have to do your, you know, homework on this and at least bring him in for a workout.
I mean, you've already done your homework on Derrick. You had him for, like, you know, was it 12 years, 13 years or something? Like, you know what the guy is. And you, more importantly, like, it's not like he didn't play. He has played, so, like, there's tape on him. Yeah, you could bring him in. But like, it's not like you need to find out what kind of guy he is. Like, you know what kind of guy he is. He's a special guy. He's respected in the room. He had a really good influence on Ragland. But from, like, from the standpoint of, like, making this defense better, like, you paying Anthony Hitchens, like, a lot of money. Like, I don't know if he's playing hurt. I don't know. You know, I've seen a lot of consternation about the inside linebacker play, you know, but, you know, at the end of the day, you got to get more production from the spot from the guy you're paying. You know, like, there's not going to be, like, a savior at this point in the year.
Talking to senior NFL writer for Yahoo Sports, Therese Paylor. To me, it sounds like, and I hadn't thought about that until you brought it up, Therese, but if you're needing a backup linebacker to be special teams guy, that's not Derrick Johnson. If that's the case, there's probably not going to be a home for him anywhere in the league. I mean, that's what it sounds like to me.
Pretty much. But that doesn't, again, the only thing that changes with that is that guys get hurt. It's
yeah.
A physical league, even still. So, like, if somebody gets hurt and you need a starting caliber player, if you're in AR, guess what? 56 seen a lot of ball. If you let him run and chase, he can help you. If you let Derrick Johnson run and chase, he can help you, right? But, you know, that's at the, you know, 3-4 you know, will, as maybe even a 4-3 will in, like, the right situation, you know. This is a passing league, but you got to be able to move. You got to be able to sprint now.
Yeah.
You got to be able to cover. And, you know, this is a young man's game inside linebacker. But let me tell you this, though. If they bring him in for a workout or they sign him, there's no doubt about the man. And honestly, there's no doubt about his ability to help, like, in certain situations. Yeah. But you guys are killing the defense, as you should. They're not, like, great, but you know, the only path to the defense getting better this year is through a trade for, like, a stud or, you know, these inside linebackers you've got right now getting better. That's it.
That's Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports. Therese, you lead me into my next question. We know the problems on the Chiefs defense. What is the fix for it? Because I feel like the fix are one of two options. It is wishing and hoping okay. that you get Eric Berry and Justin Houston back healthy, which they have only played one game in their last 23 for the Chiefs, or it is counting on Bob Sutton to fix this defense. I ain't got a lot of hope in either one of those options just based on recent track record.
What about number three? Which is making a trade for a guy. Making a trade for a stud. Would you consider doing that?
Yeah, I mean, I would, but I mean, who is that stud? Earl Thomas is injured. Patrick Peterson, certainly available. So, I mean, is it just Peterson or bust for this defense?
So you guys got to forgive me because I'm like on the road right now. I wasn't able to listen today. Though I typically listen. Like, where are you at? What do you guys feel about Patrick Peterson? Like, how much would you give up for that guy, Scott?
I would give second up your Rams second round pick.
Yeah, second round pick.
What if Phoenix, what if Arizona was like, you can have Peterson, but we want like a first in 2019 and we'll give you back like a third. Or not, we'll give you back a fourth, but we want a first in 2019.
I would do it because Peterson has 2 years under contract. And to me, if you can turn Marcus Peters into essentially Patrick Peterson plus Armani Watts. That's actually a good trade, in my opinion.
Okay, so that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Therese, I'm on board with it. I want to do it. I don't think you don't take these things for granted when you have an offense like you have with the Chiefs right now. I think you got to make a move.
So I agree. But let me take this to the next level. I agree. What if it's a 2019 first and a 2020 third?
I'd still consider it, man. Because you
it's
don't.
It's interesting, right?
Yeah.
Here's my answer. I do it. Yeah. Here's why. Right? And this is just me spitballing. Like, I think this is fun. I love team building. Like, special years are special for a reason. They're hard to come by. And even though you think, like, Pat's going to be good, like, you know Pat's good. Like, you're going to be contending for years and years. You only get the first year he starts where teams don't fully know how to stop him yet one time. You only get that one time. Like, even the greatest show on turf slowed down a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit once teams got to see him and they spent 8 months preparing, right? There is nothing, after seeing what Patrick Mahomes did on Sunday, I don't think there's anything anyone's going to be able to do to stop this offense short of, like, Mahomes getting hurt. If he's staying healthy, I think this offense is going to put up a ton of points and no one's stopping him. The Achilles heel for this team is the defense. They need another stud. I believe Eric Berry will be back. I do. And I think if you got a defense that's Peterson, Eric Berry, D Ford on the contract here, and Justin Houston, I think that's enough. I do. I just say it. I think it's enough. I think it's enough to make a legitimate run at, like, winning a Super Bowl. And maybe you end up hurting in draft when you don't have a first round pick. But if you believe in your ability to scout, you know. Andy Reid's 60 years old. You're not getting any younger. Like, this is a special offense and a really interesting team. I would consider doing it. What about you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I would too. I just like the fact, I guess I was kind of laughing inside that, you know, with D4, we've kind of turned this contract year into, like, he's some superhero all of a sudden. I mean, you got Eric Berry contract year D4 all of a sudden. Like, man, you might be right when it comes to D4. No, I mean, I'm with you because I look at this of you cannot squander a potentially historic offense. Like, this offense is not good. It's not great. They have a chance to be top five in the history of the NFL at scoring points. You cannot waste it with this defense, so you have to be aggressive in trying to fix it. I mean, they already tried in the offseason. I think they got it wrong now in how to fix the defense. You got to take one more shot to really give yourself a chance to win in January.
Let me also say this, too. I think if you add, like, a premium talent, like the Thomas thing stunk. The reason why the Chiefs were pissed about that is that you add a talent like that, what is it? What else does it do? It allows the defensive coordinator to be more aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. It wouldn't be the first time. But if you get, like, a generational safety like Earl or a corner like Peterson, and I'm throwing that name out, right? I feel like that allows you to be more aggressive when it comes to stacking the box with defenders, leaving that guy on an island, giving people more help. Maybe that's the thing you need to, like, get up in people's faces and, like, go after it instead of taking it. You know, I don't know. But I think that is something that's interesting, and I think it's something the Chiefs should explore.
Therese, one of the things that I said, too, I mean, I think clearly maybe the weakest thing about the Chiefs right now is their ability to draft and develop defensive players. So, which is another reason why I don't have a problem with them if they're going to go out and trade for a really, really good corner like that. You know, because you look at the guys that they've drafted and developed, and they failed miserably when it comes to drafting on the defensive side of the ball. So if this is one way, I think so. I mean, Peters and Chris Jones, name me some other guys, man. I mean, you go down, look at the this class. I'm not judging this class yet because you haven't seen enough of them. But, man, Kavari Russell's of the world.
Pretty good on Sunday. But that was bad.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at a lot of these guys that are average or they're gone by now. It's a clear weakness of the Chiefs. So if you can get a proven guy that's really good, another reason to go do it, in my opinion.
Here's the thing. I mean, I think it's a good point in the sense that, like, draft picks they're lotto tickets. And I love building through lotto tickets, though. Like, it's the best asset in football. Like, I get it, you know. I just think that this team has a chance to be special.
Yeah, me too.
And I feel bad for Chiefs fans, like, you know. And I mean, I'm happy for them now, but I just know how much pain there's been. I would really, really hate to see, like, the defense be the reason that this team loses. Yeah. Like, you know what? Like a really weird, twisted way, like, having Mahomes and the promise of it, like, losing in the playoffs in, like, a 47-43 shootout, like, at home because you couldn't stop anybody would be, like, as crushing as, like, anything you've dealt with.
Like, I mean, like, might be worse.
People have been complaining. complained about the defense for 2 years. And for, like, if that were to happen that way and go down that way, like, that's the kind of bad juju, like, I don't want around Pat, dude. Like, I'm just going to be honest. Like, say you swung for the fences, you know, I don't think anybody would be mad if you wouldn't get. Like, no one would have been mad about Earl Thomas. That would have been a great move for these guys. And that would have changed the defense. The trick is seeing who else is out there and seeing if there's anything else that can be done.
And that is our guy, Terrez Paylor. He is a senior NFL writer over at Yahoo Sports. He's one of the best football writers in the world. Thanks, Terrez, for coming on today, man. I always love talking football with you.
Thanks, dude.
Hey, I appreciate it. That was a really good conversation. I enjoyed that too, guys.
I always love talking to Terrez, you know?
Just gets me fired up.
Always great insight. Terrez made a really good point that I do want to talk about on the other side of why I was no on Earl Thomas and why I am yes on Patrick Peterson. I'll explain coming up as the drive. Back in on the drive coming up at 4 o'clock. We'll get more into this Patrick Peterson stuff. I think it's really, really interesting. We'll also take a trip around the NFL. Terrez said a lot of really, really good stuff. We'll get to that. Let's keep this Patrick Peterson conversation going. We can talk about this for a while because I do think it's really, really interesting. I was no on Earl Thomas for a first-round pick because you weren't going to have him for a very, very long time. The Patrick Peterson situation is completely different than the Earl Thomas when you're looking at the numbers and the money paid out. Now, Patrick Peterson is a major salary cap hit next year. He's a major salary cap hit the year after that. So he still is under contract for 2.5 more years. But after this year, it is feasible for you to get out of the contract and not really accrue a lot of damages for yourself. That's basically how NFL contracts work, is once you pay off the guaranteed portion at the end of it, It's basically a dice roll. Kind of like Justin Houston's contract. Like, sure. It is advantageous for the Chiefs if they want to get out of the deal next year and they cannot have the $15 million cap hit for him. So the cap hit in 2019 for Patrick Peterson is he's age 29, $11 million. In 2020, it is $12.05. That is the base salary for Patrick Peterson. So you're telling me you can get a two-year deal on a cornerback that is still in his prime and will probably be in his prime for the duration of the deal. Still under 30 years old.
Yeah, while you 30 have when him it's for the done. Deal. 30 when it's
so
done.
You still have him in that. If I am the Chiefs, what I would be trying to do is I'd be trying to turn that extra second-round draft pick that I got for Marcus Peters, and I'd try to make that the centerpiece of the deal.
Yeah.
I wouldn't give him a first-round draft pick if I didn't have to. That's a last-case resort for Patrick Peterson. But if you're telling me I can give up the 62nd overall pick and I maybe couple it with the, you know, if we get the 1C conditional additional pick. So I'm maybe giving up a 2 and a 4 or a 2 and a 5. I think that's enough. And you're willing to take this contract off the books for Arizona, which has to be the motivating factor because he's still a really good player. I think that gets you Patrick Peterson. I think you got a really good shot at getting him.
If I'm Arizona, though, I'm not taking the 62nd pick for him. I mean, it's going to have to be more than that, man. I mean, because let's say, for example, the Chiefs go all the way to the AFC title game. They're picking what? Second, third, or they're picking third or fourth next year. Or they go to the Super Bowl and they're picking first or second next year. That second round pick is going to be way down there, man. And I need more from him than that. You're going to have to couple something else with it. You know, because, I mean, if you're Arizona, you say, give me a second round pick and you give me the 62nd overall pick for Patrick, that's not enough. If they want to make it, they're going to have to sweeten that deal somehow. But I'm all for it. I mean, the longer this season is gone, the more I'm in favor of making a deal to make that defense better. Because just like Terrez said, you have maybe one of the greatest offenses of all time. And if you waste that and get beat 48-43 in the playoffs, after you get your quarterback, after you average 35, 36 points a game, and you still can't get where you want to go in the playoffs, that's going to be unacceptable in Kansas City. You know, I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. You don't waste an offense like this. So make the deal if you can. Even if you got to sweeten and give them more than a second, I'm in.
I mean, someone on the text line asked a really good question. What's too much? Both Chiefs second-round picks don't sound too bad for me in exchange for Patrick Peterson. I'm probably more willing to be aggressive with Patrick Peterson than I was for Earl Thomas because he plays a more valuable position in cornerback than Earl Thomas did. And you'll have control of him after the season is up. Like, you weren't going to franchise tag Earl Thomas next season if you traded for him. It was going to be a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, hopefully we win the Super Bowl kind of situation with Earl Thomas. That's not what it would be for Patrick Peterson. Now, if you get Patrick Peterson, I do want people to realize that means you are saying no to somebody else. Like, Patrick Peterson is going to make $11 million next year. Mm-hmm. He's going to be one of your five highest paid players. You ain't paying everybody you want to pay.
We could agree that if they get Patrick Peterson, Justin Houston's not going to be around next year unless he restructures.
Yeah, I mean, Justin Houston's probably not going to be around. Yeah. And maybe you have to make another difficult decision. Like, Chris Jones is waiting to get paid. You got to tell Chris Jones, no, hey, we picked up that Patrick Peterson deal. We don't have the money now. Because if you make this move for Patrick Peterson, I don't feel like people ever play the domino effect that it has.
Sure.
There's one contract they have to sign this offseason. That's Tyreek Hill. They're not getting around it. You have to pay Tyreek Hill. Then you got other guys that need to be paid. You got a franchise tag for D Ford. Like, D Ford is going to make more money next year if he's on the team. Like, $4 million more dollars than he made this past season. So that's something you got to take care of. If you're the Kansas City Chiefs, you got the decision with Justin Houston. What are you going to do? If you make this deal for Patrick Peterson and he makes $11 million where he's making like 9% of your salary cap, man, that's saying no to giving Kendall Fuller an extension. Yeah. That's saying no to giving Chris Jones an extension. And you got to tell guys, wait, which we see how sometimes that works in the NFL. Guys ain't too happy when you tell them wait to get paid.
But also, if you bring in Peterson, I think you run those two corners out if you can't get Kendall Fuller taken care of. And, man, your corners are set. All right, two of your biggest positions are taken care of, you know, and I promise you this, if they franchise D Ford and they trade for Patrick Peterson, Justin Houston's gone. I mean, they're saving a ton of money next year if they do that. So I'm in favor of it because it does solidify your defense. And I'll go back to the thing and I'll keep harping on this in case you just joined us. I think the Chiefs are awful at drafting and developing defensive players. I mean, you can go down the list. I mean, look, some of the defensive guys, and I won't talk about the guys this year because they haven't. I'm going to give him some more time, but Akemi Olegbe was a linebacker they drafted last year. He's already gone. Tano Pastineau hasn't evolved into anything. Leon McQuay was cut. Now he's back. Kavari Russell was a third-round pick that was cut. Eric Murray, he's okay, you know. DJ White's not here. Daddy Nicholas isn't here. Ramique Wilson, DJ Alexander, they're gone. Raheem Nunez-Roches, he's out of here. So, I mean, the Chiefs under this group have not – Phillip Gaines is gone. There's another one. I mean, I keep going down the line. I mean, the Chiefs have not been able to draft and develop good defensive players. So, to me, giving up a draft pick that you might blow on a defensive guy that you may not develop and may get wrong anyway when you get a proven quarterback, go for it, man. I'm in. If that's going to make this defense better and get them to the Super Bowl, I'm in.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm willing to use that logic because I feel like that doesn't give them the credit of you could get the decision right. Like, you got it right on Marcus Peters. Now, it didn't work for other reasons.
You got it right on Chris Jones. I think it's fair to say
you got it right. And to be, I mean, the first-round draft pick of you have a guy on a rookie contract for 5 years – that's a valuable thing to have that I don't want to completely throw that part away.
All I'm saying is, like, based on – if you look at what they've done on offense, drafting and developing versus what they've done on defense, it's a dramatic difference.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
It's not even close. I think it's a weakness of this regime is to draft and develop defensive players.
Yeah, and I would say I'm willing to give Brett Veach time of, hey, you know – your emphasis needs to be on improving this defense. The most I'm willing to do for Patrick Peterson if I'm the Chiefs is – I would trade my first-round draft pick this year because I'm betting on it being the 29th overall pick. I mean, hopefully the 32nd overall pick, but you guys get the point. You're hoping on it being a bottom five in the first-round draft pick. I don't know if I give you a third round this year. I think about giving you a future third. Mm-hmm. I think a first-round draft pick this year and a future third, if you are willing to do more than that for Patrick Peterson, like at some point, hey, you need to get rid of this contract off your books. Like, if you're really trying to move Patrick Peterson, I think we gave you a very fair offer. We're taking the contracts off your books. We're giving you a first-round draft pick and not this year's third-round draft pick. I'll give you a 2020 third-round pick. I feel like that's good enough to get Patrick Peterson.
Yeah, I would do that. I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to go.
Coming up in 2 minutes, we will get to – I thought Therese made a really good point about how you can improve this defense, and I'm going to be honest with you, I ain't really fired about any of the options, but we'll go through them coming up. It's The Drive.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.